Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
This morning we're launching into a new sermon series and I'm excited. So I just got to tell you a story really quick. On my first date with my wife, I misjudged a moment. You know, it was going really well. You know, we go out and grab a pizza and then we go and watch a little bit of a Griffins and then we play some cards. And then I'm trying to figure out in that moment how to end this date that's going well. And the best way I knew in that moment was to shake hands and say, it was nice to meet you. And then at the same time, she comes in for the hug. And I'm like, at that moment, I'm like, this is awkward. Like, I'm awkward. And what I didn't know in that moment was that her whole family, they're huggers. Like, you go into a family gathering and you hug everyone in the room. Do you have a family like that? Or is that just my family? Okay, then when you leave the room, you then hug everyone as you say goodbye to them. And then I just realized at the end of the time, if I didn't know what to do, just hug it out and see what happens. But I did not know that, just in that little conversation on the first date with Emily, that at the surface level, what I saw and what I experienced from her, I did not realize that there was something deeper. There was something more to her story. And in the moment, I just made it really awkward. I'm glad she said yes. Let's go for a second date. Otherwise, this would be super awkward. But archaeologists look at something like that, and they have a word for it when you look under the surface. It's not just a hill, a mound of dirt, but it's a tell. And so you're asking, what is a tell, Josh? Great you ask, because the tell is a hill that doesn't look like much from the outside. But that beneath the layer is layers of cities and civilizations and victories and failures, destruction and rebuilding. And so at the surface level, you see something, but deep down below, there's a story to tell. So if you see this picture here, what does it look like to you? A mound of dirt, but the reality, it's a tell. So if you look at this picture here, what happens is that over time, thousands of years, you have something built up and there's layers of history and generations of stories. On the outside, you just see a mound, but it goes deeper than that. This morning, our big idea is that every tell has layers of history and that every person has layers of story. And I think at the surface level, we don't normally get the full story. And sometimes we come to experiences and relationship, and we just want people to see the surface level, the good level, the level that we have it all together. Like, we're looking real good. But there is a whole layer of story underneath the surface layer. And maybe for you, the layer of story is a disappointment that nobody sees. Or maybe in your story, it's an anxiety that you continue to walk with in your life, or a wound that you thought might heal already, but it hasn't. Or maybe a regret that you were a part of that you just want to bury that no one sees. Or maybe it's a prayer that hasn't been answered the way that you hoped it would answered. And we have all these layers to our story, and I believe that everyone coming into this room has layers deeper than what people see on the outside. And what I love about the God of the Bible is that he is not afraid of your layers of your story, that he leans in to that story, that God is faithful in every layer of your story. And so we have one that we want to unpack with you this morning is the Shechem. Say Shechem. Shechem. Okay, try it again. Shechem. Awesome. So you're like, where is Shechem? Shechem in this map right here is in the Middle East, left of the Jordan River right here. I made it a little bit bigger and Shechem right there. And you might be asking, what does Shechem mean? Shechem means shoulders, an upper part of the back, a shoulders, like the saddle on a hill. This is Shechem. It's a place in time. It's a piece of land. So if you see this picture here, you might wonder, where is a Shechem? Shechem is this little, right there. You see the mountains right here in the middle? That is where Shechem lands. And in this land, it is a story of layers and layers of layers of generations of God's faithfulness, yes, but humans, doubt and compromise and confusion and sin and ultimately redemption. That at Shechem, there's a history of faithfulness even in human failure. And I believe that's also true for you and your story this morning. That as you unpack the layers of your story, God is still faithful in your pain, in your regret, and in your hurt. And so our first layer that we see at Shechem, the first time Shechem is even announced in the Bible is about a man named Abraham. But before we do that, there's this picture right here. If you go to Shechem, you'll see this right here. This is the tell that's been excavated to layers upon layers. And if I had time, I'll tell you the stories and the stories and the stories. But I have about five stories I need to tell. So we got to jump right in. So the first layer is Abraham. The first time we see Shechem mentioned in the Bible. There's this covenant promise that's made, but what we find is that Abraham kind of struggles to walk this covenant promise in God's timing. So in Genesis 12, this reads, Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offsprings, I will give you this land. And in that moment, he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So right here at Shechem, the first time we see Shechem mentioned in the Bible is this promise that God gives to Abram. Say, I will have your offsprings have this land. What's interesting, and Abraham is kind of in the same boat as I am, sometimes you hear a promise and you're like, is it going to happen right now? And yet, a little bit further, he says this, oh Lord, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless. And then he goes, you have given me no offspring. It's like, God, are you still, do you see me? Do you remember the promise that you gave? But yet, I don't know if I've seen it yet. And years and years and years go by. In his doubt, he takes it into his own hands. But if not, when he's 100 years old and Sarah is 90, they have their son Isaac. And this promise is fulfilled through the offspring. It's that God is faithful even when Abram and Sarah were doubting it. And so you have different layers. So I don't know if this is the best way I can bring this as analogy. You have the first one. You got the first layer of rock that gets poured out. There's an altar that's built. And then the next layer, we move a little bit further. We have a layer from Jacob. And there's this renewal that Jacob brings. But man, the story goes one layer deeper. Because if it wasn't Jacob, it was also his family in their brokenness. They did some crazy things. So if you look at Genesis 33, that after Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohe Israel, which means God, the God of Israel. So in this land, if not a little bit further, here comes Jacob and his family, and they're pitching a tent at by the city of Shechem, bringing forth this renewed following Jesus. But there is a story that goes deep and it goes dark. In Genesis 34, Dinah, Jacob and Leah's daughter, is violated. And then Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, go in and literally kill all the men of Shechem, almost 800 of them. God promises this offspring. God promises this land. And then here goes Simeon and Levi, and they go in and take it into their own hands. And what I love about it is that God still says, I'm faithful. And he calls Jacob to go to Bethel and says, hey, get rid of the foreign gods. And they bury it under this oak tree at Shechem. God was still faithful, even in the brokenness of their story. And so then we add another layer to this story. Throw a little dirt in here. Oh, don't make a mess. Another layer to the story at Shechem. Then we move a little bit further, and even at this land, we have Joshua and the Israelites. And Joshua is calling them to renew their covenant with God. And yet over time, they drifted away. Then in Joshua 24:1, it says, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders and the leaders and the judges and the officials of Israel, and they presented them before God. He's calling them. He says this, choose this day whom you will serve. And they respond, we will serve the Lord. Why are they going to serve the Lord? Because they know of God's faithfulness, because of Abraham and Jacob and Egypt and the deliverance that happened and all the miraculous signs of them moving from Egypt into the promised land, because God is faithful. And how do we know that over time they drifted away from this commitment? In Judges 2:10, it says, those arose another generation that didn't know the Lord. I know this happens in my life all the time, right? You go through life and you're like, hey, today I should start eating healthy again. Anybody there? Like, maybe today is the day that I'm starting to eat salad. And every time I say that, donuts show up. It's almost amazing. And then I eat a donut, and then the next day, my daughter's like, hey, we should celebrate. There's a thing in the Hinken household. I find a way to celebrate all the time. So we're having donuts all the time, or a shake, or something like that. But what happened is, like, I'm going to make a commitment, and it's so easy to drift away from the commitment you made, and you start to do something different. But what I love about this is that even with Joshua and the Israelites, God never fails. Even if they walk away from their faith or they walk away from their commitment, they drift away and into compromise, God is still faithful. And so you throw another layer to this story. Then we walk into another story of Abimelech at the same location in Shechem. Another story of human brokenness and human failure. They crown Abimelech king, but as they reject God's plan and God's ways. And if you see this in Judges 9, Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them and to all his mother's clan, ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you? To have 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood. In this moment, he's asking, do you want me to be your king? Not these people to be your king. And they're like, yeah, sure. We want you to be the king. And so to make sure he was the king, he goes and kills 70 of his brothers. One did escape, but the rest of them died. There's this darkness that happens in the story at Shechem. There's these layers of generations, yes, in God's faithfulness, but also human failure. And so we just add another layer to this story. More and more layers stack up to tell story. And then you start asking, well, then what about my story? And if we were to fast forward just a little bit, this is the spot that is probably the coolest spot in Shechem. Like Shechem, the city was destroyed. But we have this story that we learn about this woman at the well, this covenant of grace that happens where Jesus offers water, living water, that grace meets this woman at the well, even in the middle of her shame. And that ultimately there's this redemption that happens to the story, not just in her story, but in the story of the land through Jesus. So in John 4, it says this. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town, Samaria, called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. And so Shechem, the city was destroyed, but in this moment, they're at Jacob's well. Remember Jacob on the second layer? He's at this well, and Jesus is doing something. This well is about 250 feet from the city of Shechem, and it's so deep, it's 131 feet deep. Can you imagine digging 131 feet to find water? And Jesus comes, he's not just coming to this random place. Like, this place has layers and has stories. Abraham stood here. Jacob labored in his land here. Joshua and the nation of Israel said, I want to serve the Lord at this land. Abimelech just took it and just said, whatever, I want to be king. And now Jesus is here with the woman at the well. And what I love is that the Samaritan woman also comes, but she comes at noon, at the heat of day. Why? Because this woman at the well also has layers to her story. She's got five husbands. There's this relational brokenness. There is a shame that she has on her. She's been an outcast in her own, with her own people. And Jesus comes. Little does she know, she's not looking for living water or water in general. What she's looking is having a new layer, ultimately, of living water. And Jesus does what only Jesus can do at Shechem. Does it add on more layers of tension, of control, of violence, of a drift, of a commitment? But what Jesus does is he actually does something radically different. He breaks the cycle altogether. He says, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask him and he would be giving you living water. And then the woman replied, at this well, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. Jesus enters into her story, sitting at the well. Jesus knows her story. She asks, hey, where's your husband? And she says, I don't have any. She's like, you're right, you've had five husbands. Jesus sees her story. Jesus isn't here to shame her story. Jesus isn't here to dismiss her story, to walk away from her story, to put more weight to her story, as much as Jesus is saying, hey, I have come to give you living water. Shechem, this land that we see, is way bigger with many layers of God's faithfulness meeting humans at their place of need. And so at this story, there's another layer we add at Shechem. And I think sometimes for us, we have many layers to our story. And it almost seems like it's just easier to put some beautiful grass over it and not let anyone see underneath the rest of our story. Because on the outside, it looks good. But on the inside, there is a whole base of layers of our story that God is calling and redeeming you not to unpack it for shame or for anything else, but to find healing like he does with the woman at the well. And in Shechem's story, if you see the big picture of the tell, Jesus comes because humanity cannot carry the burden itself, cannot fix what is broken, cannot redeem this story. But Jesus is saying, hey, I can. I am the living water. He says, believe me, a time is coming. Will you worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem? You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are kind of worshipers, as fathers seek. God in spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. It is not about a location. It's about Jesus, the one we worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declares, I, the one, am speaking to you. I am he. Jesus is literally sitting at the middle of the story. It says, I am the fulfillment of the promise. I have come to heal humanity. I have come to give grace to every layer of the story. Which then brings us back to this main idea that every tell has layers of history. And yes, even you has layers of story. And ultimately, God is faithful in every layer of your story. Even in your failure, he remains faithful. Even in your struggles, this is not the final layer, but that God's faithfulness is. Because I believe, as we read in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. God is not done with you. And I don't know your story, but I know there are stories in here with layers and layers that go so deep. And I just wonder, maybe God is uncovering a layer this morning. Maybe a wound in your life, maybe a failure or a disappointment or a sin or a regret or a question you might have. And just says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, for I have given you rest. I have come to give you living water. I have come to give you hope in a world that's broken and full of human failure that you cannot fix it on your own, but only Jesus Christ can. And sometimes you start asking this question, are my mess ups final? Do they define me? The layers that you kind of continue to pack down, like, would God want to redeem me? I don't know how you answer that question. Because I believe that some of us here might have said yes. They're final. I don't know how God would use my story. I have way too many layers, and now all I do is put the grass on top so it looks good on the outside, but I just don't want God to be digging too deep. I don't want to reveal anything too much, because if I do, what if God won't redeem me? What if God would say, hey, I'm just gonna walk away? I don't know if I can hang out with whatever that is. But what I see with Jesus at the woman at the well is that Jesus is saying, hold on, I am still in the story. I have come to you to redeem the story. I've done something, Jesus says, that there's no one else on earth that could. I've come because you've been messing this up a lot, human beings. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I've come to die on the cross so he could defeat death and sin and shame all the more 3 days later, bringing life and rising again. And that's what Easter we celebrate, is what God's goodness is, God's mercy is, God's grace is in our life. And so maybe you ask this question, is what layers may God be uncovering in my story? I think this is a harder question to ask, because that includes us being honest with God. Maybe grabbing a little bit of a shovel and like getting in here and peeling back the sweet carpet that I found from AAA down in the sod farm on 36th Ave. And we pull it away and we start doing some digging, knowing that when we dig, it gets a little messy. But in the mess, that's the beauty, because Jesus enters in and the Holy Spirit's doing a work in and through your life. He's not done with you yet. And so I don't know what you brought into this space. I don't know if there's a wound that you're still carrying, that what it looks like to lay it down at the foot of the cross this morning. I don't know if there's a lie that you've believed all the way from your childhood, of that you're not good enough, that you're not going to amount to anything. I don't know if you have a place that you need healing in your life, or maybe even a relationship that you need to seek for healing in your life. But a part of my story, Jesus is redeeming. What comes to mind when you think of their story and the layers? Do you feel like God's done with me? Or do you recognize that God has been faithful, not just in this layer right now, at the top layer, but God is faithful and in every layer of your story? I believe that's the good news, because he continues to show up and continues to lean in and continues to call you to return back to the God who loves you so much, who knows you so well, says, come to me, for I will give you living water, and I will give you rest. I believe that he's still merciful. I believe that for you, the grace is for you too, and it's Jesus. So I just want to invite you to pray with me in a moment. God, we come before you this morning. God, I recognize there are people in this room, every one of us, that has a story. And some of us have been just digging deeper and deeper in our story. Some of us have just put the top over and just said, hey, God, I don't want you to get in on this. I feel too much shame. I don't know if you're going to love me if you actually see and reveal what I've done, what I've said, who I've become. God, I don't know if there's even hope in my story. I don't even see it. I don't know if you're faithful. Are you faithful, God? God, I recognize that this is real. It's not just about a land, but it's about your faithfulness through the story of the land. In every layer, you still show up. And I'm praying for that in everyone's life here in this room, that they would recognize that you're still at work. You're still showing up. You're still calling to them, saying, come. I've come to bring and give you rest, to give you freedom from that addiction. God, I just pray that your Spirit would fill this place and that we would recognize your mercy is for us and your goodness too. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.